carry some. Lite noter för cosmology while doing my evening toilet, brushing teeth and cleaning my nose, so there will be interesting sounds here. But now, after the Puranic section here, I want to get into the cosmic story, I think. So we could start this, and we put the these different mythologies in there. Start something like this. Well, this book is about cosmology, as we started off, but also, as we also started off, not cosmology, maybe in the way that some may have expected it, and there in the beginning, Wikipedia saying that there are different kinds of cosmology, scientific, physical cosmology, astronomic, whatever, and what they call religious or mythological cosmology. All the way through here, I have insisted that the cosmology of the Puranas, for instance, and this ancient cosmology of the cultures too is not physicalist, materialist science cosmology. So what is it then? This that we just described from the Puranas. This is mythological. Some would say so and dismiss it. Such dismissal would be caused by the understanding of myth as just some stories that are actually the original, and I would say deeper and more true meaning of myth, yes, and then we can put that stuff in there that is already written somewhere. It's about knowledge conveyed through stories and allegories. The stories of the Bhagavatam allegorical, or are they describing events? And persons historical events and persons from this world or some other world. Well, some would say if this knowledge of the Bhagavatam should be taken seriously and be considered truth, it must describe historical events and people. If
they didn't exist, they are not for real. And everything in the book is false. But I say that this in itself is a materialistic understanding. Because it assumes implicitly, if nothing else, that, or whatever the word is, for something to be real, it has to exist in this world, this material world. If Krishna living in Vrindavan and so on in India, say if Krishna did not actually live in India, as we learn from the tradition, then what the tradition tells us is false. If Jesus did not actually live there in Palestine, his teachings there in the New Testament are false and useless. And so, some religionists were followers of those traditions, were scholars of those traditions. Make serious efforts to prove that existence, challenged by the scientific people, who demand such proof, or else reject it as mere faith, and yes, mythology. However, if you accept at least the ontology, if that's the right word, that these old wisdoms themselves are based on, namely, that this world is rather less real than the other higher world that is above and beyond it. Then, first of all, that very definition of proof as being something
existing in this world. False or it's not valid. But also the very concept of myth and allegory changes because what higher knowledge then describes such as the cosmology of the Bhagavatam and the Puranas include and actually mainly so realms and existences and people and persons' life going on beyond the scope of our material senses and minds. Thus, what other way can one talk about them, such topics, than through allegory, namely by using examples that are known to us in this world. Well, there are, of course, other ways, such as highly abstract philosophy, such as the Vedanta, but even there, we often find allegories, metaphors used. In fact, it is said in the Indian Vedic scriptures themselves, the Mahabharata, Tarka Pratishta Shruti Avibhinna, whatever it continues. Mahajana Vajina Gatasa Panta, that the truth is not, you can't pinpoint it in words of books. It is there in the hearts of self-realized people. Persons who then try to explain their experiences of worlds beyond this, vijnana, through these tools of human words expressed with symbols and sounds. So when we hear speak about mythology, that's what we are speaking about. And if you can use that understanding, then well, I think that what we just looked at quickly from the Puranas, the cosmology of the Puranas, seen that way, the eggs and the milk and the oceans and golden mountains and this and that. A picture starts to emerge, which hopefully has already started to emerge to you. And that picture is also there, which we looked at in the beginning, but now we'll return to. In the mythologies of different cultures on the planet. So when we hear speak about mythological cosmology, it's not about pseudo-scientific, faith-based fantasy cosmology of primitive religious people. But of a sophisticated metaphysical cosmology described through metaphors and allegorical stories. So what it is up to us to do here is to try and decode those, because as we also said in the beginning, in the introduction, I think, or somewhere, check it out. Just as languages change and cultures change, the meaning and interpretation of allegories may change too.
And of course, when we look back at older cultures in any part of the world, at their writings and drawings and symbolism, it is largely appearing as gibberish to us. Or at least as a great mystery. So let's at least take a little step here, looking for the solution to that mystery.